morning, church. Good morning. Yes. Welcome back to Sunday service here at Agape Community Church. And it's so good to see everyone here, even though it's hazy outside. I think news report has it that haze has gotten worse, right? Some of the schools in Johor that are on today have to be cancelled or closed down. That's the report that I heard. And truly, the haze is getting worse in Malaysia. And we need to recognize it, Malaysia, Singapore, and so on. We need to recognize it. As we were walking out earlier between the service and I was walking towards the annex hall, I was looking to the right, towards the outside of the church. And I remember seeing one of the traffic personnel. I think it was Melvin, but he was wearing a mask and all. So I wasn't very sure who it was. Walking towards this side, and there was haze all around him and the trees. You know, it's potentially like a horror movie, you know. You know, with that kind of effect that we have, and Pastor Ignatius was telling me earlier, the smoky effect we see inside the sanctuary is not our smoke machine. It's actually the haze as well. So knowing that, we also need to pray, We need to pray that the situation gets better and people are protected. And a reminder, everyone, to get hydrated, please. Stay hydrated. Stay indoors as much as you can. Take care of yourself. So you know what? Let's pray for the haze situation in Malaysia. Let's ask God to do the things that we cannot do. And then we also pray for the service. Amen? So let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for being such a good God, that you're a God over the sun and the moon and the storm, and you can calm any storm. And we pray right now in this haze situation that you will come and take control and remove all the haze from our region, oh Lord. Lord, we don't want to theorize or politicize anything, but we just want to call on your name and ask that you come and come into our situation right now. We pray especially for all the children and all the elderly and those who are sick and really will not be able to withstand the haze in their circumstance or get sicker. We just pray, Lord, that you protect them especially. Grant good health for all those who are working outdoors and who need to travel. Oh Lord, we pray, oh God, for protection. We pray, oh God, for a stronger capacity in our lungs as well. Oh Lord, you come and deal with this situation, oh God. So we pray that you take control in Jesus' name. And again, we also want to pray for the word this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me and you speak to all of us here. Remind us of your goodness and your spirit and your power in our lives every single day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. No, 2 weeks ago, well, we've been on this community month and we've been talking about issues about community as well as preaching in the same line of thought. And 2 weeks ago, how many of you were here in service? Where Pastor Joshua was speaking? Well, only like two people came. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Joshua was sharing that God's power, you know, his power is seen through both his word, spoken word, written word, as well as his works. And lives are transformed both by the declaration of his word, as well as the good works he has called us to do. And last week, Pastor Kyung-jen was preaching, and he preached that God's power is the one that enables us to keep on going and doing God's kingdom work, unless, of course, God says no. Putting away, that we need to put away the things that hinder us from going. You know, it reminds us that actually, in actual definition, this is a consistent truth throughout our called out Christian life. That this is something that's going to always be true. God's power on display, whether through his word or in every area of our life and as we do his good work. And it's going to be true for all of us and not just a select few, not just certain people or certain events. You know, it's very dangerous when we begin to think like, oh, you know, God will only work through certain people because they are more anointed or so on and so forth, because they have this position. And we tend to think that God's power and his spirit only is associated with certain experience, you know, like, oh, worship service, yeah, lah, God's spirit will move. But outside, once you reach a parking lot, God's power suddenly cannot move anymore. You know, we have that kind of idea, some of us, that God's power and his works in certain situation only, that is more powerful than others. But you know what? God's power and his spirit is not something we should box in to certain experiences or certain people only. of course, we will always find it easier to define God's power when we can see it tangibly, right? We can see it, or we can feel, when we feel moved undeniably, we then can define it, oh yeah, that's God's power. But we should not limit how God can work. In normal days, we often separate what we consider spiritual things, like, you know, this church, this ministry, spiritual things, and what is worldly things, you know, is commonly known as sacred versus secular. And we emphasize, sometimes we put so much emphasis, that these are the big, important things that we need to do for God, and we brush aside things that seem small and insignificant. We just brush it aside and go like, we want to focus on these big important things. But what if we've gotten it wrong? What if there is no separation nor differentiation in the eyes of God in His kingdom? How many of you know that kingdom of God works differently from our understanding of how things work? God's principles are different, and that there is no differentiation because God's Spirit is in all things, works through all things, and is in all who put their faith in Him. So whether you are taking care of your own baby or driving someone home from church, after church, you know, everything is a sacred act before God, and we should see it. Likewise, God's power can manifest as a healing or as an idea. God's power can manifest by bringing peace in the midst of arguments in a household. And it can work through us loving a child that has not known love. God's power can work through us as we learn to redirect our resources for kingdom work as answered prayers to another work. You know, God's power can manifest through so many means. And that is one reason, one of the reasons why, as a church, we have all these community ministries and that we embark on this community month to recognize that God's power works through many different means and all throughout. Lest we forget that it is God's call to feed the hungry, clothe the poor, care for the sick and the orphan. That we remember. Now this morning, I want to talk about two particular ministries, and I know that last year or the year before, we have actually emphasized a little bit about food bank and did a little bit of explanation, but for the benefit of those who were not there at that time, I want to go through a little bit again about what these two ministries does in our church. Now, food bank is one of the ministries in our church that basically supplies monthly dry food supply to family members, basically the hardcore poor who are struggling to survive, and we help them by providing monthly supplies from everything from rice, oil, you know, canned food and certain necessities, dry ones. And currently, we are supplying to about 30 families, but over the last 10 years or so, we have supplied to about 70 or over 70 families that have been reached. And the goal actually is to help them to move from one stage to another stage of sustainability and being able, they're empowered to be able to take care of themselves as well. So we do normally support families 6 months to 12 months and renewable based on needs case to case because, you know, it's hard to say what everyone's need at that time. And we also help them more than just being able to have food to eat on their table and then we close the eye to the rest. But actually, we walk through a lot of families and find what other things, because a lot of times it comes hand in hand, right? Some of them have maybe a parent or a child who's very sick at home or need school fees, you know, exam fees. Exams are coming up, utility bills that they cannot pay off, or their electricity will get cut off, or water supply. And there's so many other ways, work closely with the hospital visitation ministry and DIC and all the other ministry in order to be able to help family, empower different individuals and reach them with the love of Christ, to say that we really want to be able to help different ones because times are getting harder and we know that it is becoming more crucial. And you know, it's amazing that a lot of church members over time has every now and then given certain things and just donated. Like one time, I remember somebody gave white shoe polish, a whole box of it, and we were able to give them out to the family. And then there was someone else who gave a whole box of multi-purpose cleaner, the powder kinds that you can mix with water and then use it to wash a lot of things. And that really helped a lot of families as well because, you know, they don't have to buy those things for their own home. So I encourage you, sometimes you don't know what you need or what you can give, to actually take this opportunity to say, hey, sometimes you have resources, whether it's your own job or you look at it, some soap or you never know, some toothpaste, and just say, no, I can do every time, maybe just about 30 of those things. And then, talk to Brother Wykin and say, I have this ability, or talk to any of the pastors and I want to be able to give, even if it's just a one-time thing. You don't know how this can really help, and we really want to encourage you to do so. I know a lot of people also give clothes and bags and shoes and whatnot to food banks so that any of the families can take whatever that they feel they need. And we have done so, from school shoes to working clothes and things like that, and which is very good. But I just want to remind you that if you're giving anything away, please remember to not donate things that are spoiled, broken, dirty, or that you don't want because it's no longer of value. Please don't do that, because if it's not of value to you, it is not of value to them. All right, to anyone else. We want to remember not to do things like that. And a lot of the nice dresses and clothes that we have really is not very practical either for people who are living day by day. So I encourage you, instead of giving nice dresses, normal shirts and pants and skirts are the most important things. Right? So let's be practical. Children's clothes and men's clothes especially, right? Because ladies, we have all kinds of dress, all kinds of clothes, and a lot of times it's not very practical to certain community groups, if you know what I'm saying, right? The other ministry I want to emphasize here is actually our learning center, which began last year and especially took off this year. Now, this ministry is to support and to teach, to educate, not educate so much so of teaching for exam-based, but to really help students who are from lower income and struggling community. And there's so many other ways that we do this, but our teacher team, two teacher team each time, really want to help our group of students. And we have a great mix of Burmese and Indian and Chinese students from Chinese school and Tamil school. And all this come together in one class. And we don't really just teach English per se, because as you know, a lot of these Myanmarese kids, they don't actually go to our government school and have no UPSR to sit for the ages between 9 to 12, I think, around. So we actually help them by giving wholesome education. What's the next slide? Is that next slide? Yes, thank you. On average, we have 20 to 35 students, which is why we need at least two teachers each turn. And it's not a ministry to just teach and walk away. We really want to talk about building characters. We really want to empower lives. We really want to help people in their self-esteem, in their personhood. And to share more about this learning center, I'm going to invite Kason, who is one of the teachers in the learning center, to come and share about the learning center. Yeah. And I believe that you will be blessed through his stories and his personal sharing. Come, Kason.
Good morning, everyone. Recapping Pastor a little. So at the Agape Learning Center on Saturdays, we teach wholesome education to local underprivileged children and Burmese refugees using English as a medium. What do we mean by wholesome education? Structured monthly themes. For example, in the month of August, we teach them about countries. September, food. October, festivals, etc. We try to incorporate values, healthy habits into our teaching, such as respecting one another. But the gist of this all is basically to show love and be there for the underprivileged. Now, to share a little bit on personal victories we've witnessed since our inception early this year. So the simple act of pasting artwork of the kids on the wall makes them feel very appreciated, incentivizes them to do it proper, and just a few words of compliments really make their day. Another example would be there is an unfortunate racial divide between the students. And as this kid, he's not treated very kindly by the others. But in response to that, when it's time to leave, he goes to everyone, those who treat him unkindly, and offer a high five. They leave him hanging. Yet he continues doing it with a smile. So it reminds us as teachers that we should always be positive, regardless of circumstance, regardless of backgrounds. Now, to emphasize on the fact that they come from less fortunate backgrounds, So there is this, how do I put it? So this kid, for example, all of them, when they wait for their guardians to pick them up, and I said guardians because they may not have parents, which means they may not have an ear listening to them. While waiting for the kids, their guardians to pick them up, they really treasure those minutes because they're very keen to tell us teachers their livelihood, their stories. So we listen and we advise when necessary, emphasizing on the fact that they may not have a mature advisory channel. Now, to give the example of the kid once more, there was once his grandma, who was supposed to pick him up, didn't. So we brought him to his mother, who works at a food court. So I complimented him to his mom and told his mom that you should be very proud of your son. And the mom, although visibly tired from work, it really touched her. And I believe this is how we can reach beyond the kid, go into their family, touch their lives. And this kid is one good example of how through this ministry, I believe we can nurture him just with some constant watchovers, careful nudgings. Regardless of circumstance, he can grow into a fine young man. And it is these kids who will one day take our places. If you have children, they will be the one growing up around your children. I believe it is our joint responsibility to ensure that we nurture a community of good men and women. Thank you.
Thank you, Kason. Kason is one of the very few men teaching in a learning center, rather one out of two men teaching. And I really, do want to encourage, you know, that in areas of nurturing and children and teaching, a lot of times we have very lack of men, but we do need a lot of men who will be able to be father figures and protectors and to show what it's really like. You know, so encourage men to rise up, teach in children's church or learning center, ARC, whatever capacity. We need more men. Amen? Amen? Not just a man, okay, but many men. Amen? All right, we're going to jump right into the word right here, and I'm going to look at Zechariah 4. If you have Bibles with you, or phone, or physical Bible, please do open and follow up with me. But I will be looking at the ESV version. So we're going to look through ESV version, so regardless of what version you have, don't worry, you can just follow along me here or at your with your own Bible. All right, so let us read Zechariah 4, verse 6 onwards. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Just a bit of background. He is the angel. In this time, Zechariah, the prophet, the namesake of the book, is actually having a vision and he saw these lampstands and all this and he asks, what is all these things? And the angel is actually explaining to him, okay? So the angel said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now let's look at it. Let's look at the context a little bit. Yeah, right here in this story, Zerubbabel, this person, is actually tasked with leading the rebuilding of the temple post-exile after the Israelites have come back to Jerusalem after about 70 odd years and now in a city of ruins. Same era with Nehemiah when he was called to build the wall. Remember Nehemiah? Built the walls around Jerusalem, and then there's this other task of rebuilding the temple. And Zerubbabel is the head of that project, okay? And remember, it has been in ruins for a long time, so the task is very daunting. We're talking about looking at ruins, you know, for half a century, things that has been destroyed, and stones, and you need to clear it and build it. And with the whole history of while they were rebuilding the walls, through Nehemiah's leading at that time, there was opposition. harassment and threats from the neighboring cities and all these kind of things happening. So at this point in time, the work of rebuilding the temple is already stalled. That means people have gotten tired, they have given up a little bit, and they have gone and done their own things. They focus on their own house, rebuilding their own lives, and they have neglected it. Of course, through the prophets like Malachi and so on, God has been challenging the people to come back and rebuild God's temple. But right here in the book of Zechariah, through this vision, through the prophet Zechariah, God is encouraging specifically Zerubbabel, the head of that project. So that's where we left off. Verse 1 to 5 is the vision, and verse 6 onwards is the angel's interpretation. Now we're going to go line to line a little bit, more or less, so that we can understand what is being said. Because even to me, a lot of times, poetic language and poetry and prophetic language, I mean, and symbolism can be a bit confusing. And it's always good to have a study Bible or a commentary or something you have so that you're able to draw more truths out of it. I really encourage that you own it or have a software as well. If you're interested, every first Sunday, we have a bookstore in the education block between 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. where you can purchase one for your own study. Okay? So do that. Now we're going to look at verse 6 onwards. Verse 6, it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So what is God saying here? God is telling Zerubbabel, yeah, you know, you may have all this manpower, all these people under your control, all the resources, because you know, Nehemiah managed to get all the resources, right? All the resources from the other nations, and you may be given the position and the influence to do all these things. So you might actually begin to think that I can do all these things. But you know, the most necessary resource is actually the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's gonna do this work, not any of these things. And this is the same Holy Spirit we're talking about, the same Spirit that moved over a formless earth and gave it form, the same Spirit that breathed life into clay and gave and brought man to life, the same Spirit that caused an unbelieving king to allow God's people to return to Jerusalem. This same Spirit is the one, the main resource by which we should be doing this work of rebuilding the temple. So Zerubbabel know that it's the Lord's Spirit that's going to enable the work to be done. And it says in verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, or you will be leveled, basically. Now, we don't know what this mountain is. We don't know if it was an emotional mountain or a psychological mountain. We do not know. Or it could even be an actual physical mountain, the pile of stone and rubbles left by the ruins. To just look at it and go like, oh, this is so, so difficult work, so much. It could even be just that. It seems so immovable. But God is saying, by my Spirit, who is the mountain? What is the mountain? It will be done because there is nothing too difficult nor too impossible for God. He makes a way where there is no way. Where we think it is impossible, God says, who is the mountain to even say, I am a challenge before Zerubbabel? Because Zerubbabel is the appointed one. God has appointed him to lead the rebuilding. God says, it will become a plain. You stand there by faith. You know, this have a sudden correlation, and I don't know if you realize, to New Testament, where Jesus exhorted the people that as long as we have faith, if only we have faith like the mustard seed, we can move mountains. Now, there is the same thing happening here about moving mountains, like what is the mountain? And if only we have faith like that. So to Zerubbabel again, can you imagine God is saying the same thing? It is by my Spirit. Won't you trust me? Trust that I am the God who is able, and I will be able to flatten, level this mountain before you, Zerubbabel, before you. Now jump to verse 9, begin to see that God also says this. Angel tells Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, and it is also by Zerubbabel that it will be completed. The same God that has called you, Zerubbabel, the same God that has commissioned you, Zerubbabel, to start this work, is the same God who's going to sustain you, enable you until you put that final stone on the temple. I'm going to ensure that you will be able to carry through the entire project and finish it. Because a lot of times we forget that in a project like this, the project is not ours. It is God's project. The project is God's. And He will see to it that it is finished because it is His work, His project. Amen? The God that started the good work will finish it. He will. He will finish it. That is a promise. That is who our God is. Now jumping back to verse 7, going up, it also says, when Zerubbabel brings that final stone, when he brings out the final top stone or capstone in some of your Bibles, the final stone, the people will shout, the people will rejoice, the people will be glad because God has done it again. It is done. What we thought was impossible is now done. And they will shout, grace, grace to it. Or in some of your Bible versions, bless it, God bless it. May it be blessed because the work is done and that it was God Almighty, it was the hands of God that has done it, and they will be able to see it. They will be able to see it. It says in 9b, then you will know it was the Lord Almighty. Then you will know it is the Lord Almighty who has done, who has sent me to you, who has sent me to you. And a lot of times we don't remember that. We need to remember that when the work is done and we look back and you remember the call and you remember the voice and you remember those things and you remember and you recognize, oh, God did call this person. Oh, God did give me this call or this word. Or God did that. And we will know that it is God at the end of the day. Verse 10 then goes on to say, whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice. Whoever. Now, NIV in your version would have said, who dares despise the day of small things? And NLT version has a famous translation that says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. In all likelihood, it's more of about suddenly having this thing here would tell me that there are some people at that time, and maybe even Zerubbabel himself, they were beginning to despise this kind of work. It's just moving stones, digging drains, you know, clearing rubbles, putting stone on stone, making cement, what tedious and menial work is this? So frustrating, so beneath me, you know, like so uninspiring completely. And then God has to remind and challenge Zerubbabel that God Almighty does not despise the season of small things. He does not despise the work, the small work. And that we should not despise small things. That whoever that will despise it will see at the end that it was God's work. It is God's work. The work may be slow, it may be difficult, it may be boring, but God blesses it as well. God blesses those menial tasks, those stone building as well. I'm not sure you're hearing me. God blesses the work which we think is menial, the work which we think is boring or repetitious. God blesses it as well. And verse 10b, it says that those who despise shall the day of small things shall rejoice, and they shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They will see the tool. The plumb line is the tool used for construction work. In the picture there, you can see to measure whether the wall is straight or not. I'm not so sure how it works, but it measures to ensure that it's not, you know, slanted. And they will see Zerubbabel holding it. They will see his hand on the tools used to do these menial tasks. And they rejoice because they will recognize that God rejoices over this labor work. It seems normal, but the small things, the stone by stone, the pillar by pillar, are also things that God delights in and rejoices in. You know? And we need to remember that. Remember that. And as I said in the beginning, a lot of times we consider sacred work and secular work. We separate everything in our life. But God has called them both, all of them, sacred acts done before Him as a worship. It is before Him that our God rejoices over the big projects that we do. You know, the big projects that require so much faith. And He also rejoices over the small things that we do. He rejoices over the things that are seen by everyone and the things that are unseen by everyone. He rejoices over our public and the public life of the congregation. But He also blesses and rejoices and delights in the private life, in the things we do in our personal life as well, where no one sees it. And He blesses them both. He blesses them both. His power, His work is in and through all these things. You know, I want to just remind us that God's power is on display in every day, in everything, through everything. And while we try to separate and try to feel that certain things are a lot more, we need to remember this word of the Lord to encourage Zerubbabel, that even though it's not a marching out to fight armies or worshiping before the temple with songs and music, and it's not something that seems important, that to God, these things are. They are. And I want to draw out from this passage here, and we're going to make some application about two key areas to remember by, two key areas from the passage. They have many principles, but just two things here about God's transformative power at work in the everyday small things. Are we okay? Okay? Haze has gotten you yet? Not yet. You're okay. So tell your neighbors two things, just two things only. It's so funny when I say, tell your neighbor just two things and everyone just go like that. It's really very funny. Anyway, just two things, okay? So the first thing is this. God's power works through the small thing by God's Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this because, again, a lot of times it is, we feel that, yeah, the big project, right? The big project, like the musical, starting new work, yeah, require a lot of faith, right? We need God's Spirit, or preaching, or worship leading. We need God's Spirit a lot. But do you know that even in everything else, everything which we considered no need, like very easy peasy, we also need God's Spirit. You know, we think that all this turning the switchboards, you know, clicking my camera, don't need God's Spirit, what? You know, but God is saying it is by His Spirit everything is done. Just like Zerubbabel, sometimes we put so much emphasis on our skill, our knowledge, our network, our resources, our abilities, our ideas, our approvals, and all these things, and we don't depend enough on the Holy Spirit. You see, I know I fall into this trap a lot. A lot of times when you got a hang of certain things and you begin to say, yeah, I can settle, it's okay, I can deal with it, I can work it out, and we feel that we don't need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And I feel sometimes that I don't need to. And I have to bring myself back to remember over and over again, and recently again was reminded that we still need the Holy Spirit in all these things, because it is by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we step into big projects like the musical, and we go like, yeah, this one we need to pray a lot by the Spirit. And then some of us, we don't dare to do the big things. We go like, I'll do the things I can handle, because I can handle, ma. I know how to deal with it. So I will stick around these areas. I'll just do the small things lah. You all do the big things. But hello, can I remind that as God has reminded Zerubbabel here as well, that it is by His Spirit every step of the way, whether it is laying bricks or holding the plumb line, anything, it is by His Spirit. And we need to remember that everything, big and small, it must be done by God's Spirit. Amen? We need to put our dependency on God's Spirit, not on our might, not on our power. No matter how good we think we are, no matter how skillful we think we are, no matter how many ideas we think we have, it is not by our might, not by our power, not by our physical health or stamina that we have. It is by God's Spirit. By God's Spirit. Charles Spurgeon expressed it this way, and I just wanted to show you what he said. Charles Spurgeon says this, "Oh, may God send us poverty. May God send us lack of means and take away our power of speech if it must be and help us only to stammer if we may only thus get the blessing. Oh, I rave to be useful to souls and all the rest may go where it will." He's basically saying, you know, a lot of times when we pray for events or pray for ministry, we pray that everything will go smooth, all the ideas and resources are coming, we pray for all these things. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for all these things. By all means, we need to pray for all those things as well. But he's saying we rather be desperate. We rather be at a point that we know we have no choice but to trust in God. We cry out desperately because we have no choice. And that sort of dependency and desperation will cause us to recognize that it is by His Spirit. We will recognize and see the full power of His Spirit at work, that we will actually get to that place. It is an attitude. It's an attitude that we need to have to learn to surrender all we can do and we cannot do, then depend wholly on His Spirit, who is more able than us. More able than us. And we depend wholly on that Spirit. You know, that we come to a point so desperate. So in everything that we do, you know, whatever that you serve in church, even if you say, "I'm just standing here and shaking people's hand," we need to learn to recognize what is more important. Because at the end of the day, it is not about having a perfectly carved out or enviable ministry or work, and it's not about having the most hardcore ministry possible. Also no, okay? It's neither of these things. It is that people are rich and lives are transformed. Do you hear me? It is about people being rich and lives being transformed by the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. That is our goal. That is the whole goal. And if we miss it, we miss it. And if we keep thinking that it's about all the nice things, then we miss the point. And if we think about what we can do or we cannot do only, we miss the point. It's about reaching lives and changing lives. Reaching people and changing lives. We are only vessels through which He works. So, we must then never underestimate the importance and the power of inviting the Spirit along in everything that we do. Invite Him in. Whether we are preaching or sharing a devotional, or you are visiting someone in a hospital or in the house, or you know, you're clicking the computer behind, or balancing the accounts for a ministry, or you are disciplining your children in the Lord. And again, I said, I'm reminding myself more than anyone else here this morning, that we need to, in all the things that we do, whether you are studying or being a good employee or boss, you need to invite the Spirit alongside. We need to invite the Spirit alongside. Now, I need you to hear me once again. We need to invite the Holy Spirit alongside us in all that we do, in our job, in our designing, in our daily affairs, in our cleaning of the home. We need to invite the Holy Spirit along, lest we begin to trust on our own strength, lest we forget what the goal is, what the mission is, lest we forget His kingdom. And remember, there is no work too small that we don't need to depend on God's Spirit. There is no work too small. The big ones, we all know we need God. But the small ones, we feel we don't need. There is no work too small that we don't need to depend on God's Spirit. The Spirit of God that calls us out of darkness. The Spirit of God that enables us and empowers us in life. The Spirit of God that transforms us and transforms the people around us. The Spirit of God that sustains us and gives us strength. The Spirit of God that will carry us to the finish line. This same Spirit is whom we trust. This same Spirit we need to depend on, because we will not get to the finish line otherwise. We will just fade away. We want to get to the finish line, and it's only sustainable by His Spirit. by His Spirit. Amen. So that's the first thing to remember. It is always by His Spirit. The second thing is this. That God's power works through the small things, and these small things are not to be despised, are not to be looked down on, whether by us looking down on other people's small things or by ourselves looking down on ourselves because we are doing small things. It's not to be despised. But the truth is, sometimes we do become like Zerubbabel and the people. We do lose steam after some time. We feel discouraged when the work seems so mountainous or the actual work is so uninspiring that we do begin to feel a little bit frustrated. And we begin to despise ourselves and the things. It's menial and unseen, and perhaps by some self-importance, we despise these things. We need to remember God's word here. And notice reference once again to a parable in the New Testament where Jesus used a story to explain the principle of His kingdom, to explain and say how God's kingdom actually works. You know, and God's kingdom's principle works so differently from our normal understanding. You realize that everything we talk about is always about God's kingdom principle. And His kingdom principle is different, and it shows through these parables and stories. And one of it is this parable of this mustard seed, where God says, the mustard seed, though it may be the smallest seed, when planted, it will grow to become the largest tree. And God's kingdom principle is like that. And I challenge you that knowing and recognizing God's principle at work in everything in our life can potentially change your life. So if you have not signed up for Kingdom Perspective, do sign up, and it starts this Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Okay? At least go through it one time. I guarantee you, we see life differently because God's kingdom works differently. Amen? So sign up for Bible study. Right, Charles Spurgeon also says this, and it's very encouraging for us when we begin to think that we are doing small works. Charles Spurgeon says this, God accepts your little works. If they are done in faith in His dear Son, God will give success to your little works. God will educate you by your little works to do greater things. And your little works may call out others who shall do greater works by far than ever you shall be able to accomplish. A lot of the things we do, we find it little or separated from other things or menial. But here we are reminded that God accepts those works. He blesses those works and He uses those things. And I want to give you one very good example that we have had in a church here through the different ministries and through the different groups of people. Wait, hang on. Slide not so fast. Whereas we hang on with the different groups of people that has done different small things and separately, and how it begins to line up and actually begin to overflow to one another. We have many examples such as this, but this is one of the example, okay? So last year, we had a community care initiative. And next slide. How many of you remember this tree, the community food tree that we had set up? So there was a group of people that were behind the scenes that were building the tree. We built it from scratch, building the tree and decorating it with all the ornaments, those that made that tree possible. And then there's many of you, a group of people or many of you, who actually participated in giving the canned food. And I think we collected 1,000 and something canned foods to be given away to different groups of people. So the canned food is here, those that gave the canned food. And then with that, we actually managed to distribute this canned food to different groups of people. And I want to show you two groups of people that we did give to. One of the group is the Little Flower Learning Center, which one of our youth cell actually went to visit and did some activities with that. It is a stateless children learning center under UN, okay? Under nowadays getting very unclear the the what is called and stuff like that because of politics. But it's for this group of children. And we brought them the back-to-school packs as well as the canned foods for their family. So we visited that group. And then another group also brought the back-to-school pack as well as the canned food and walked the streets deep inside Hamyang area where there's a lot of lower-income community that live there and walked through the street and knocked on the doors and call out, auntie, uncle, you know, see anybody home and have conversations with them, as you can see. Bless them with it. This is Christmas season. We want to show God's love. And we really do want to do follow-up, and if anyone that wants to just go and walk and begin to follow up on them, to share that love, you're welcome to speak to any of us to do that. You know, we talk to those who are driving home from work and just bless them with these things. And at the same time, behind the scene, there is another group of people that we had just gotten at our learning center at the time, began renting. So another group of people that were preparing the learning center, clean up, a lot of things to go through and throw and redo, and as well as painted the entire learning center. There are a lot of pictures, but I only picked up a few here to let you see. And then end of last year and this year, we were able to start the learning center. Now the group of children, the Burmese students, come from the Learning Little Flower Learning Center. And some of the Tamil school students come from the Hamyang areas that we walk. Do you see how little by little, every little thing actually lead one to another? And everything that we consider small things were actually built up together into God's work. Now, of course, at the end of the year, we want to be able to invite these children to come for our VBA. They're going to have Vacation Bible Adventure, and we hope to be able to introduce them to church and God and all these things here. And we really want to be able to bless them and talk to their families and so on and so forth, and their community as well. So the work is not done. It's continuing, and we pray that many people will begin to see that your little work is not so little after all. And I just want to encourage you as individuals or as families, biological families, or groups of friends and self family, to consider doing the work that seems small, really, because they only seem small. And for parents who are here, teach your children the importance of doing this work. You know, I'm serious. We should not always gear our children the first thing to want to do the stage ministry. We have this thing, no? The first thing is learn music instrument or something, because the epitome of church ministry is to be on stage. No. Let me say this very clearly. The first ministry, the first act of service you should train your children to be in is grounds. Today, this second service, only Jenny is clapping. Everyone else is like, what? Trust me, it is grounds. And we actually really do that in the youth ministry as well. First thing, grounds. Go pack the chairs, clear the rubbish. You know why? Because it trains their spirit. It trains them to recognize what truly is. It trains them to recognize that in God's kingdom, they are all important. It trains them to not desire the stage ministry and the leadership and all these things and think that they are of more importance than the menial task that is beneath them. It trains the spirit. So I encourage you, you got children, you want to train them in ministry, right? Don't worry. First things first, arrange chairs. Come and arrange chairs. Can already. Keep the rubbish. Come cut things in the office. Very boring one. But it will train their spirit. Make them finish it. I'm serious. Help them see, train the spirit that these are significant too in God's kingdom. That we should not have so much segregation between what we think is more important. So I encourage you. This Friday, we are also doing a cell committee action where you're supposed to, committee action to plan out some of the things that you can do in your families, a biological family or friends. Join the cleanup project, clean up the playground in your Taman Perumahan, or you know, come and pack some gifts or cut some crafts for children's church in the office. Visit someone who is sick or homebound and cannot go out. You know, look out for the need in the society. There's so many needs. You can cook for DIC. You want to do once a month also, can. Just talk to our brother Frankie. Once a month, one of the weekday, you can only do one time also, can. You want to help clean up our learning center? We don't have any. We don't don't hire anyone to clean up one. Once or twice a month, you come tell me, I give you the key, you go and be a blessing. Clean up the center, mop the place, you know. Whatever it is, there is no end to what we can do. Seriously, there is no end to it. We just need to get up and say, I am willing to do this thing. I'm willing to go. Go through the donated clothes. You know, we have so many donated clothes in the food bank there, and even in the office beginning to pile up, don't know what to do already. If you just say, okay, no, I can go through all these clothes and sort out the usable and the not usable. I can do sewing, patchwork, alter the clothes that are not so suitable into suitable one and be able to put it there so that people can have it. These are all things that we can do. There's so many things. Maybe you can redirect some of your resources or resources that you know into other ministries. Just say only. Just come and say, I want to do something. And we'll show you that there is no end to what can be done. Even giving to a cause, to say that I want to give to certain causes. You know, I began giving to my first cause at the age of 21 when I started working right after college. College days. The first thing, and I remember it was World Vision, and I'm still giving to World Vision until today. But because a lot of these things are very little, $30, $50, you can do it. And it's training you to set aside, to bless another work that needs that fund to do something else that we cannot do. I've begun to support a few more causes along the way until today. And recently, I'm not trying to boast on this thing, but I really hope to inspire and encourage you that you're not too young. Seriously, you're not too young to start, or you're not too old to start. There is no such thing. Recently, I began to start to give to NKF, the National Kidney Foundation, because I became very aware of the situation of dialysis in our country, and it's very dire, and it's said that by 2020, you know, I think like 50,000 people will be on dialysis or something like that. And there is no option, no transplant, because nobody donates kidneys, no way to do it, and all the dialysis centers are so expensive. So NKF is the only foundation, few foundation, which our Cheras, Pastor Lawrence Yap's dialysis center actually works with NKF, our government hospital, and previously Mawa, I don't know about the new Mawa, works with NKF as well to be able to subsidize dialysis. Otherwise, dialysis can be $1,800 to $3,000 per month, and they have to do it for the rest of their life. So I became to become very aware and did some research and say that we need to do something. And sometimes the smallest action we can take is just to give. So I encourage you, there is no end to what you can do. The small things we say, start something. Start something, encourage you. You know, I also want to speak to those who are in the co-ministry, our co-ministry ministry and department. Because a huge part of the community ministries is quite menial. It's very repetitious, weekly, daily. It is. And it's pretty unseen. It is sometimes discouraging, many times very lonely, quite unpopular, and considered small works. And as we follow this train of thought, I want to encourage you who are serving in these ministries, as well as those of you who know you need to be involved. I want to encourage you that the transformative power of God is at work in this as well. In all that you do, the transformative power of God is at work. Whether you be visiting people or in those classes that you teach, in the soup kitchens as you cook, the transformative power of God is at work. We do need to go into the field daily and weekly, dependent on the Holy Spirit. We must continuously depend on the Holy Spirit, no matter how menial the task looks. And do not despise these small things, for God delights in your labor. He delights in your work. As you hold the spatula, as you hold the broom, the whiteboard marker, or the cardboard boxes, God delights in your work. Besides, the work that you do is no small thing. Amen? It's no small thing. And as I conclude, and ask the worship team to get ready, I'm going to say this. As we talk about small things and community ministries and a lot of this work that seems hard, a lot of times when we begin to do it, I assure you, the evil one will begin to whisper discouragement and to throw in some lies along the way. Some lies to confuse us, discourage us, makes us want to give up. discouragement, like, what difference does serving food even make? People go hungry anyway, and it still doesn't solve the problem. Nobody cares or knows who I'm visiting or whether I'm visiting. So why do it? Our society is so broken anyway, so evil, cannot be fixed. You can try all you want, you people, but it will never be fixed. Haven't you read Revelation? It's getting worse. Discouragement, like, I'm too weak, I have no strength, I have no power, my heart cannot go on, I'm already old, I cannot anymore. Let me tell you, these are discouragements and lies. And there are a few things about the day of small things. And I show you, the evil one will remind you, that are true. And there are some reminders, just three things, okay? Three things. The first thing about the day of small things. The first thing is that they will seem insignificant to many people. Whether you like it or not, as you go along the way, there will be people who will constantly dismiss it, look down on it, and criticize it. They will go like, "Ayah, children just teaching games only, what? Community works, you do lah, you do those things lah. Admin work, what you do, no point one, or even planting new work, so hard and tiresome, so discouraging." And people will begin to criticize your seemingly fruitless work. Remember, not to despise these small things in our own hearts, that we do not end up despising it ourselves. Don't allow the criticism and the spirit of others to eat into our spirit that stops us from doing these things. That's one. The second thing about the day of small things is that they will be difficult and lonely. They will be. You know, the evil one knows how precious and important it actually is. And he will make it hard so that you give up. But let me tell you this thing about the days of small things that are difficult, lonely, and hard. They are days of priceless shaping and preparation for you and for the work. For us as individuals, it's a shaping time. As well as for the work, that at the end of the day, the way it turns, this is pivotal times. We need to press on and push on. Whether you're raising your own children in the Lord and you find it so tiring and so hard and long, or you're reaching out to someone who does not want to be reached, or you're starting a new work and no one understands it, you feel so lonely. I want to remind you, be strong and courageous. Fight the good fight. Know that it is important and precious. And just as God has promised Zerubbabel to sustain him from the foundation to the final stone, he will be faithful to you. He will sustain you. He will help you endure. He will. This is our God. Remember. And the third thing about the days of small things is this. The task will seem so daunting. So impossible, like a mountain before you, like a Goliath screaming at you, like a Thanos invasion. There's no way out. Remember, God says he can flatten the mountain. He can kill Goliath. He can do the impossible things. He can. That is what God can do, no matter how daunting. So have courage to do the small thing. Have heart to do the small thing. Remember, it is not by your strength or your smartness or your passion or your abilities that these things will be done. It is by God's willing, constant, and enabling spirit, because this is His work. It is His work. I encourage you to stand right now. We want to sing this song right now. And I do not know where you are or what you are going through or what you have been doing, or what you may feel about your service in the past, present, or even future. I do not know how you see the people around you, or your own family members perhaps. Do not know whether you are afraid to do these things because of what people might say, or that you are doing these things but feeling tired. Let me say that with the right heart and the right spirit, with willing hands and willing feet, and we keep going on, and remember that at the end, whatever the task, it is for His glory and His kingdom's sake. Because where lives are transformed, God's power will be at display. And we may do the small thing, but it is no small thing in the eyes of God. It will become great things for His kingdom and His kingdom's glory. And this afternoon, as we end, I'm going to encourage that as we think about it, let us invite the Spirit of the living God into every of those things. Let us desire His voice, His move, His word. Let us cling on to the fact that if God shows up, if God does a work, what else? What else is there? It has become possible. So let's sing together the song, Spirit of the Living God.